Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Dirtbox Fingers, Warp Forged, and Mingus Man. Coming up on TMS, riding with pirates for their scent.
Lifting mom for the cruise.
You'll get no Skarsgård, no Batista, and no Lieutenant Yar.
Dancing with beavers in Ibiza.
Cornish nipple pasties.
Guardians of terror.
Needle of shit at your neck.
A gigantic red shirt.
Day drinking with Dunaway.
Wake me up when September plays.
Gaston is the best ride.
Identity theft with Scott.
Don't take your girlfriends to Shoney's.
I just want a damn churro.
Endgame for shapes with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Aquaman, friend to all the sea creatures, leader of the sea denizens, underwater king, able to breathe underwater.
When we find that media, we'll find Dr. Wowie.
The Morning Stream, good, real good.
Well, 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 what do we have here? Brand new episode of The Morning Stream. Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, February 26th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett.
Hello. Well.
You may ask yourselves why you are here. Oh, I still have the pre-show graphic up. Sorry, everybody. It's off now.
Oh, there we go.
I did that.
Oh, hi.
I did that for like 12 minutes on core, or just ran with that stupid graphic.
Really?
Yeah, I got to come up with a better way to notice. It's annoying. Anyway, we're here. It's me and Brian. We got stuff. We got a show.
Yeah.
You know, can't have a whole long weekend.
It's Dune Week.
Dune Week.
Oh, shit. That's right. I got tickets for Friday.
Woo! Nice.
I haven't been to a movie theater since,
Spider-Verse, right?
Spider-Verse. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a bit of time. And I'll be going with my buddy Darren and Kim and his wife, Ruth Ann. And we're going to have dinner after or before. I don't know.
Kim and his wife.
I got all that. That's not the right order at all, is it? No. But I'm so excited. And Kim's like, we got to pick a night this week to watch the first one again, just to get all, you know, hyped. And I said, okay, when do you have 3.5 hours, honey?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So we might do, I don't know, tonight or tomorrow night or something. I don't know.
Do it a two-parter. Dune part one.
That's right.
Dune part one, part two.
That's right. Dune Part 1.0, 1.5.
Part A, subsection A.
Yeah. That's how you have to handle these huge movies. There's no other way.
Alamo Drafthouse released their video of the previously on Dune, which is like your 12-minute recap of not just the first movie, but everything from the first movie as was also done in the 1984 Dino De Laurentiis, right?
He was the producer, but the director was your David Finch.
David Lynch, of course. It was, yes.
Almost said
and
Fincher.
Then your 2000 TV adaptation with William Hurt.
Oh, I forgot that existed.
Yeah, I did too.
That was that was the one where they did the kids' books, right? Or the sons' books or something? Wasn't that the deal?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought they didn't tackle the original Herbert books and they went straight to Herbert Jr. or something.
Definitely did tackle the Herbert books, because you get scenes like, basically you get the same scene of stick your hand in the box. Now keep it in there. I've got a needle of shit on your neck and I'm going to stick it in your neck if you move, and you pull it out.
Yeah, that scene's hard to not recognize for what it is. That's for sure.
Yep. So anyway, that I put that in the film sec channel in the Discord if you want to watch it. It's a great...
I was just going to ask. I can get that online then. I don't have to go to Alamo Draft House to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's good. That's a great idea, actually. Maybe we'll do that instead. Yeah. Might be a little more educational, too, than just seeing the movie.
It actually does break things down with, like, all of the, you know, here's Arrakis, and here's the Harkonnens, and here's Paul's journey, and here's, you know.
Here's the political flavor of the thing. Yeah, here's the spice and why it must flow and that kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
Sweet. And here's Sting versus the kid who played Elvis.
Right, exactly.
I'm excited about the Elvis kid because he looks wicked in these trailers.
Does he? Okay.
Cool. Oh my gosh. Have you not seen a trailer? You've avoided
I've seen
that?
The trailer and I didn't pick him out. So I.
He's the wiry little Harkonnen dude with the bald head and the white skin and the knife. Yeah, that's that character.
Bald head, white skin, knife, all Harkonnen.
Well, let's say he's
wiry dude, definitely unique among the the Batistas and the Skarsgards and all of that.
I'll say it that way. He's not a Skarsgard, not a Batista. That's how you'll know, since they don't really show anybody
pretty
else.
That's much how I'll recognize.
And since Das Malchain took a dive in the first movie, spoiler.
Yeah.
Anyway, I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I can barely stand it.
Yeah. I'm seeing it Thursday night. And so, I won't spoil anything Friday morning for you.
You can give me a thumbs up or down that morning, though.
I'll give you a thumbs up or down. How's that? Yeah.
I'll bet it's up.
I have to take my mom to the airport on Friday, and I'm hoping, because I agreed to it months ago and forgot what time I need to take her, I'm hoping it doesn't interfere with couch party.
Where does she, where's mom going?
Mom is going on a cruise because she likes to go on cruises.
Okay. And, hey, look, so if she likes it, she should go, you know?
Exactly. So she's going to be departing from New Orleans. So she's flying to New Orleans, going to have an evening there with her friends and then get on a cruise ship.
And then Caribbean, Mexico, where do you go when you get on that one?
I can't remember where this one is.
Since it departs in the Gulf, I'm going to guess Mexico is like Cabo or something.
I think she's been to all the Mexican destinations that she wants to go to. It's an island, I think.
Maybe it's Ibiza. And she can dance with the Biebers and the whatnots while she's there.
Yeah, and the whatnots, sure.
Hey, what's your mom's maiden name? I've never asked. What's her name?
I'm not telling you. That's that's all, you know, you're going to reset my passwords.
Oh, shit. I didn't think of that. This has been the long con fishing attempt I was going to make.
I know. You finally broke. Yeah. And
We did a show for 12 plus years. Finally, I got to the day where I felt like comfortable to finally ask the question to get that name.
Exactly. Brian, what was your first pet?
I'll start out. Who was your third grade teacher? What was her name?
Yeah. That's really funny. Because I know you weren't trying to do that.
No.
But
we can't fish for 25, 30,000 other people. You know, we don't want to do that on the air. We don't. We're not doing it, everybody. Brian is right. Should never, not that Brian's using her name as passwords everywhere, but they might be hints on some websites.
No, I definitely don't use it as, I don't use it as prompts either. And pretty much everywhere I have two-factor authentication anyway. So it really doesn't matter. But it'll be real easy for you to figure out if once you meet my uncle George in Vegas, because...
Which I think will be my second time.
Brother.
Second time, right, I think?
Yes, you met him at the Paul in Caesar's Palace.
Way back in 2011, I think.
Yeah.
The year we started the show, we met there. Yep.
That's right. Was it really? Yep. Crazy. Jeez.
I remember you wore a gigantic red shirt. And I don't mean it was like... I don't mean you were like big in it. It's not what I mean.
I know exactly.
It was a really loose fitting, long, like the neck hole was like kind of stretched out. It looked like you'd just run a race or something in that thing.
I did because, we were one hotel away before I had to meet you at Caesar's Palace. And so getting from the inside of one hotel out to the strip and then into the strip through, Caesar's Palace. Because you can't, to get to the Palm, you have to go all the way through Caesar's Palace to the Forum Shops to get to the Palm. And so I think that was it. Yeah, it was my button-up. Oh, I love that shirt. I don't think I have it anymore. It was a button-up red with, like, Hawaiian, a very, very faint dark red Hawaiian pattern on a medium red shirt.
It's a little weird to remember that, isn't it, though?
That was me, Golden Boy for a while. You remember how Seinfeld had Golden Boy, like, the first shirt he would wear out of the dryer?
Yeah.
That red shirt, that red button-up was Golden Boy for a while.
It was your go-to. I don't know if I have one of those. I do have one of those.
Tina's
I have a sweatshirt
right now. She's like, yep, I threw that one away.
Oh.
It looked like it had gotten a little worn in the neck and blah, blah, blah. So,
all right. Well, at least you got your use out of it. That's fine.
I did. I made good use of it. It was, like you said, it was always the first shirt out of the dryer that I'd put on.
Very nice. Reminder to folks at home, speaking of Las Vegas, we have an event coming up called TMS Vegas, or some may call it Viva TMS Vegas. And if you go to vivatmsvegas.com right now, there's a link to this year's tickets. If you want in, I am happy to report that we're selling them pretty quickly. And that means we're not going to have them forever. So if you have been on the fence, or you're like, oh, shoot, I need to finally get over there and do that, I would do it soon, because we're getting to our cap, and it won't be that long. So go to vivatmsvegas.com, look for the store link or the ticket link, and it will take you there.
Right there at the bottom of the page, right under the schedule of all of the fun freaking events that we're going to be doing the whole week.
Yep.
Not just the official events, but a lot of Tadpoolers have meetups and fun things they want to do, usually centered around food, usually centered around dim sum or oxtail soup.
Yeah. Oh
my God, that oxtail soup. I think I got to do that this year. I missed it last year. I didn't do it, but this year.
I had a couple of years ago, maybe 2021, when we came back. Was it 2022 we came back? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
I think that was the year I had it. And I also had those amazing, what were those called? The pasty things.
The pasties.
Yeah. Those were insane.
The Cornish pasties. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now, it may have been a gummy giving me the hungries. I don't know, but I devoured those things.
It was
so good.
If you had one, then it probably wasn't a gummy. If you had more than one, then it was probably gummy influenced getting two pasties or more, because,
I had a 1.5. I had 1.5. 1.5.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go. That's good. That's
Kim,
a good number.
Kim only could eat half of hers, so I was like happy to oblige and eat that thing.
Yeah.
That was good. Well, get over there. Get them. Get your tickets. Seriously, they're not going to last forever, for real.
Exactly. And if you're like, oh, I don't know, man, because, you know, it's the ticket, but then I've also got to get a hotel. Folks, the hotel, it's like you're looking at Motel 6 prices, right? Mm-hmm, it's like 50-something bucks a night plus your resort fee, blah, blah, blah. Vegas, welcome to, you know, 2023 or 24, whatever year it is. But it's, you know, 50 some bucks per night for a hotel for all this fun and excitement and fun and a dimension fun. And you can't get a better deal than that hotel wise.
No, name a better way. The answer is that you can't. Okay.
Exactly.
You can't do it.
Do it.
We got a very sad text from a listener that I just had to read. Brian, I know this is going to be a sad one. Are you ready for this?
All right. I'm bracing myself right now for it.
For whatever reason on the show, Shoney's comes up a lot. And so I don't know why.
That's what La Quinta is Spanish for. It's Spanish for next to Shoney's.
Next to Shoney's, exactly. And we always talk about all the bacon, and Dunaway's always got some story about how that's all he ever ate down there and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote this simple thing in. It's an anonymous listener. All they wrote was, hottest chick I ever dated broke up with me at a Shoney's.
Oh,
that's the whole thing. They didn't say anything else. They didn't ask for a reply. They didn't ask for anything. They just sadly stated this fact. And I feel bad for this person that the hottest chick they ever dated. Do we still say hot chicks? Do we still say it? I don't know.
I think you do with this sort of thing, right? Because, you know, it's a Shoney's. You don't say hottest lady I ever dated. No, he's the hottest chick. You're keeping it brief for the text. You know, it's like, how do I quickly type this message to Scott? Hottest chick I ever dated broke up with me at a Shoney's.
That's right. Send. Yeah, send. And I feel like...
Sad face emoji.
I know we're not paying per character anymore, but we used to. So we're feeling economic about our letters. And that's fine. Chick is fine. Yeah, anyway, that's sad, but not this next thing. This next thing is more calling... I think they're calling you to task, but it's really the show in general.
Oh, yeah. No, bring it on. Bring it on.
Here it is. It's about points and Tadpooly feud, of which we have one today.
All right.
It's our old pal Jesse. Check this out.
Hello, butt and scrote. This is Moral Prime, a.k.a. the Garbage Man, a.k.a. Jerky Jesse. Normally when I'm listening to Tadpooley Feud, I am right along the mighty Mississippi River banks in a small area called Cowtown out here in Minnesota. And the next time I hear ding and no points dead, I'm going to drive straight into the river with my garbage truck, windows down, mouth wide open. Love the show, though. Have a good day.
Okay, yeah, I got called to task on this last week or week before last, too, is not doing enough score representation for our audio-only listeners. Like, I got to make sure to keep telling you guys the score because, yeah, there's listeners out there who don't have the advantage of watching this video.
Oh, yeah, by a vast majority.
Exactly. You guys are just the tiny little tip of the listener iceberg, the tadpool iceberg.
Yeah, I'm not even sure the live people are even one full percent of who will hear it all. But you got to understand, while we're in the thick of this and we're doing some things visually, you get in the mindset of, oh, people are seeing this. So here it is. They see it. I don't have to explain it further. We will try to be better about that in general, not just the score thing, but like, here's a picture we found on a news story. I should be better at saying, hey, for those at home, this is a guy with a booger hanging out of his face or whatever it is.
I'll try and get a score update a little more frequently than little Alex Horn for your Taskmaster listeners or viewers.
Well, today will be because we have a feud today, and you're gonna be tested, Brian.
A rare Monday feud. Why? Well, Brian had a brain fart this morning and forgot what effing day of the week it was.
I love that you thought it was Wednesday. I don't know why I love that. I just
exactly.
do.
Yeah.
I think that's
you can't, it doesn't count as drinking all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's right. Well, then we may as well get to it. Let's get a Dunaway in. We'll take whatever one we get. I don't care. It doesn't matter which Dunaway
Faye
calls.
Faye or Brian, whichever one we can get.
Faye. Brian, or there's a third one.
Is there a third Dunaway?
Isn't there another Dunaway? Hey, Dunaway, isn't there another Dunaway?
There's somewhere.
Give us another famous Dunaway. Do you know any?
Hi, Scott and Brian. Another famous Dunaway would be my dad.
Oh.
Oh, really?
All right, your dad.
I don't know of any other.
Tell us how we'd know your dad in a famous way, other than you, I guess.
He's known for being a contributor to my life. There you go.
Aww,
famous dad.
That's nice. Good. I like that. Dads are good.
Brian Dunaway's dad, also very much into retro, but only because it's the technology he understands and not because he does it. He likes the nostalgia of it.
You say that, but he is into retro, and he's been wanting to play some Unreal Tournament with us, and he is actually playing on a DayZ server right now with some Mr.
Wow. Really?
He's a gamer. He's a big gamer. Yeah.
DayZ. Oh my gosh, I forgot DayZ existed. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's good to have you here. We're going to play a game, and we're going to pull in a listener to be a part of this.
Oh no, pull them in like you're going to have like a red balloon tied to like a sewer grate.
Yeah.
Hey, come here, buddy.
Yeah.
We all float here.
We all float down here.
Oh, look who it is. While she's coming in, let's remember not to bring up mobile games or say anything anti-Spider-Man, okay?
Oh, I've been playing Monopoly Go.
Oh, good. You want to make sure to... She's not here yet, so you're okay. Oh, there she is.
You know what
I
really liked was that Spider-Man Endless Running game on my...
on your phone? Oh, her worlds are colliding. What are we going to do? Hey, it's Stephanie Inipets who joins us for the first time for Feud.
I think so, yeah. She's muted too, by the way, Stephanie. Unmute.
Yeah, you're muted. Your microphone is muted.
Muted.
Which I don't blame you, you know? I mean,
love me some Steph.
Most of the time, muting's a smart way to not have people hear you, but today we need to hear you, and it's muted still.
Mute me.
In the meantime, I will say, take heed, winning is prescient.
Optional?
Because it's THWIP, we always do a thwip thing back and forth when we see each other in chat.
She says,
not working.
It's not working? No. Oh, no, that's not good. I really was hoping to hear from her.
Are you not finding the unmute button? We can't right-click and unmute her, right? Obviously.
Not muted on my end. I can mute her and unmute her and see if that does anything. Nope, same deal.
Is she listed as muted, or is it just an audio input problem?
No, she's showing
listed as
muted.
There's a little red microphone.
Like, if I mute myself, you'll see that same thing. See that? That red thing? That red thing right there?
And thank you for actually going through the process.
The demonstration.
Of muting me. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So, I didn't know that's what happened.
So what's going on is either her phone or a computer has that button depressed, and she currently is not able to undepress it. And
That's my depressed button.
My button's depressed.
He goes to therapy 3 times a week.
Hey, speaking of your dad real quick while we see if we can suss this out, he's about to become a great granddad.
Yeah, not the first time, however, but yes, he is about to cross that. However, he has become the latest convert to 3D printing. I gave him a 3D printer. I'm waiting on the phone calls now. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. All right. Well, Stephanie, we'll try this again next time. I apologize.
Aww.
I mean, I don't know what else to do. I can't get her I can't get I can't force the unmute, unfortunately. I don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
So we'll try you again. Don't worry. You'll be coming up again. Let's get our next fourth person. Oh, look who it is. Hold on. If I can spell it, there we go.
Score right now, 0-0.
Yeah,
for those keeping track on the
0-0. We have 9 of 12 coming in. 9 of 12.
All right, more great community members.
There we go. We got September. We got September. Hi, September. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you this morning?
We're good. You're in like Flynn. This is fantastic. Welcome to the show.
Right. I gotta make my iPad stop. Really?
Oh, I hate that multiple device Discord calls. I hate that crap.
Every mobile device that's got Discord on starts ringing.
I've answered it already.
So I am sci-fi new to the program. He says, did they just start doing Feud on Monday last week? No, today is a one-off mistake. Brian did it by accident. We explained it all earlier.
No, I am sci-fi. It's all on you, man. We've been doing this for months.
Where have you been?
Exactly.
I think he showed up late. Oh, we lost September. What happened there?
She hung up the iPad answered, and hung up the call.
All right. You there? Okay, cool.
There we go. She's back.
All right. Let's get this the show underway. Brian, will you explain the rules, please, and what happens here?
Sure. It's time to play half and that Tadpooley feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian will have to predict the answers that they gave us. It's their job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Ember, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. If your team wins, you get a prize package that includes 12 is better than 16 and Torchlight, the first one.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love the first one. I love the first and the second one. The third one's terrible, but one and two are great.
Yeah, the third was not great, but yeah, I think I actually prefer the first one. I like the second one. It's hard to say.
Is it titled The First One?
No, I think it's just Torchlight.
That's just the way it's labeled here in our list. So it must just be Torchlight.
They didn't have a number on the first one they didn't think there was going to be a sequel.
It's like nobody called World War One World War One during the war.
I just thought maybe a remaster, you could totally do that.
Didn't they call it the Greatest War before they called it World War?
Yeah.
The Great War.
And they also called it the War to End All Wars, which would not be correct at all.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's a little too lofty.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
They were some optimistic people back then. They were like, this will be it. And I'm like, we got a bigger one coming right up. And guess what? The Germans are there again. It's again with
the
Germans.
Let's just get this one over with, this war. And then we won't have any more. All right.
Yep.
We can make it.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's great. I like I like the stakes here for this game.
Yeah, should be fun. Well, let's see if Ember can pull this one out. But first, we need you guys to decide who's going to be playing with September. And put your hands on your buzzers. Give me your answer to this. We asked, I can't remember how many tadpoolers really screwed up this morning.
480.
It is right around there. Yeah, that is what it seems to be, right around there. We asked them, what is your favorite ride in a Disney park?
Down, come on.
Scott Johnson.
Space Mountain.
Show me Space Mountain.
Space Mountain.
That is the number one answer.
Dadgummit.
The score is 1-0. Scott.
1-0.
I was going to say Minnie Mouse.
Yeah. All right, September, what's your go-to?
A lot of people said that, Brian, by the way.
Did they really? They put that in there?
Yes. Oh, the tadpool had some real fun with this one.
Oh, they went pine form.
Dirty boys.
My favorite one was, we don't have Disneyland in Australia. We don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
Wait, there's no Down Under Disney?
Nope.
You're missing out. That was a great movie, The Rescuers Down Under. Yeah, the whole theme.
That was good.
Disney, exactly. Disney appreciated you guys. Why can't you return the favor? Hey, Scott Nimber, give me another answer.
All right. What do you think?
Do we go for a trolley one or a real one?
I mean, they're all. It's never bad. It's never a bad idea to go trolley because you just know they're gonna. There's gonna be some of these in here, but
I think Mansion is definitely.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good
one. It's like my favorite.
Yeah.
Well, I love it.
Yeah, that's great. I was going to ask you what your favorite was. That's good to hear. Let's go Haunted Mansion, Brian.
Haunted Mansion. 99
with
ghosts
or without?
There's room for one more. Number two answer on the board, giving you guys 3 points.
All right.
Very good.
Oh, does that have Eddie Murphy or not?
No. That does not have Eddie Murphy, but around Christmas time, it has Danny Elfman.
Nice.
It has all the Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas stuff.
That's true.
And I've never seen it when that was happening.
Really?
You know what? It's the only time I've seen it in the last 4 times I've been to Disneyland. It's always that time of year.
You usually go when you're there for BlizzCon, and that's when they have
It's always October or November, and they always have that up.
Well, I just...
No, September?
World. I've never been to California.
Oh, you should go.
Me too.
Oh,
wow.
You should go in September. You should go in September. This coming September.
But I used to work at World, so I'm
Okay. Oh, then you know you're going to know more than most of us. All right. Exactly. Well, then I'll let you choose the next one. What do you think people enjoy?
Can we ask if there's any rides that don't exist anymore?
Ooh.
I mean, you can.
Does Ibbit even know?
We'll see if Brian can answer
you,
that.
I can tell you all of... Oh.
Interesting.
There's two really popular ones that don't exist anymore or have been renamed.
Right. There might something might be here with that. I'm not going to say.
Okay.
But more than that. Jesus.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
I think we can.
But in those cases, I would accept the new name or the old name. So, you know.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. What's your favorite, Scott?
I mean, I don't know if it's my favorite, but I'll bet Pirates of the Caribbean's on here.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. It's nice and cool down there, and I always go in during the summer, it seems.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good reason to go on that ride.
Yeah. Let's do Pirates. We'll try it.
Let's do Pirates.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and because of all of the people's ashes that they put in the water, there's a really cool smell to the water that's very unique to Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm. Show me Pirates of the Caribbean! Number four answer. 7 points for Scott, 0 for Brian, but looking for that.
Why did you need to say, we know what I have. Well, you didn't need to say that.
Yeah,
I know you're trying to keep people at home happy, but
I have to say it now.
Now we have to say it, and you are currently 0. If we didn't make that clear before, you are 0.
I haven't even said anything yet.
So Shoujo, you and I agree. She says the only reason I ran that ride for the smell. There is something. There's like
you mean the
unique,
must?
Kind yes, of, very yeah. Musty. There's like a musty Pirates of the Caribbean smell. And and man, the one in California is so much better than the one in Florida.
Yeah.
Because Florida has that water table, so you can't do all the drops like you can in California. You have to go up. And then
Right.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Whatever, Mr. Scientist. Hey, you know what's good on, or people are going to probably put on here is probably that Indiana Jones ride. People like that one a lot. That seems like a popular deal.
Yeah.
What do you think, September?
Indiana Jones. Ride?
Oh, what? What?
Just roll with it, September. What? I want to turn.
No, that's a thing.
Because there's a
performance, but it's no longer. Yeah, they no longer even do the show.
What?
I was there for the last one.
There's an Indiana Jones ride, you dinguses, in California that you wait in line for and you ride on. That's a thing. That's a real ride.
We said, didn't we say neither one of us had been to the one in California?
Yeah.
Didn't we?
But right, I'm telling you, that's all where right. most people. Why, Brian? What are you doing? Get out of this. I'll take September's advice, but I ain't taking his.
I think.
Yeah.
Fair because it gives us Guardians, which it is now too, and those are both like super popular. But it's the same ride.
What is Guardians and Raiders?
No, Tower of Terror.
Oh, Tower of Terror. Sorry. I misheard you.
But it's the Guardians ride now.
Yeah, that's true. That's Brian's favorite. Let's do that, actually. That's good. Guardians.
Okay. All right.
You said you combined them.
Oh, shit.
There is a unique Tower of Terror ride in Florida.
Yes.
So show me the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Oh. And it was not called the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror for the longest time, right?
Still,
it was called,
plus, it's in California.
Florida, it's still the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. So that one did not get combined.
Plus, it's in California Adventure. And that, I guess we're counting that? Obviously, we're counting that.
It's a Disney park.
Okay. Have you ever been to Disney World?
I've never been to World, only to land.
Okay, I see. Okay, interesting.
Land only.
Score right now, 12-0. 12.
You know, World is bigger than land.
Oh, I know.
I'm just saying.
I want to go to Tokyo or the French one.
Yeah.
I want to go to those.
Lumiere.
Okay.
Okay, so you feel like small world because people will be that troll?
Yeah, because that's pretty trolly. Yeah, it's also probably likely if it's going to be in here, it'll be up near 10. So
let's Ross hates it a lot.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
No, that you threw up on Space Mountain, not on It's a Small World.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a small world. Get it out of the way.
Show me It's a Small World after all.
Damn it.
No. Trolley or not, let's see. That one did number 11.
I don't think it's a troll. I will say that I kind of like it. And it's because it's when I ride it, it's always like, it's usually like middle of the afternoon and it's like, I'm tired. I just want to sit and just zone for a minute.
Of the day, it's like the longest period of air conditioning you can get at Disneyland without being in a store or in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, if you ever got stuck on it when it broke down, I promise you, it would be ruining forever.
It is. I mean, it's all because the repetitiveness of the music really is the biggest part. I mean, it's entertaining otherwise, but it is very repetitive. I'm going to go...
Yeah, Brian, you can't control the board now. Sorry. Yeah, hey, Brian, you're up.
Hey. All right. Space Mountain, Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, Tower of Terror. We just said Small World, not right. So I'm going to go with my favorite ride, just in case I don't get a chance to say anything else, because you guys are doing pretty good. I like the Peter Pan. Was it Peter Pan Flight of Peter Pan? Wait a minute. Yeah, something like that. You're breathing? Are you breathing?
No, let her. No. September. Hush. No, that was September. That wasn't me. September, don't give him any ideas. Let him pick this one.
I'm not.
All right. Show me Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Oh, come on.
That's a shame.
Peter Pan. It's funny because there we go. Number 32. It's popular enough that people still do it for Rope Drop because the lines get so big for Peter Pan. And this is one Peter Pan apparently is more popular at, or is a better ride or something at in Florida than it is in California.
That may be true. Yeah. The one we have is really cool. It's almost like flying over miniature cities and stuff. And it's
California
really cool
as well, but there's something, cause there's in California, it's not part of the, Shoujo might be able to correct me on this. It's not part of the Genie Pass, but in Florida, it is a Genie Pass ride.
I hear there's a lot of controversy. They might be getting rid of that because it's not working. People are wrapped around blocks for stuff like it's bad.
Oh, wow.
They want to go back to the old way or something. I can't remember where I heard that. There was somebody. Oh, I know what it was. The Filmcast guys. Filmcast? Slash Film. Sorry. That's who it was. They're huge Disney nerds, and they were just like, freaking out that it was so bad right now. Like they had video and it was really bad.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, it was supposed to be like, you know, the whole Fast Pass system was great.
Yeah.
You did your Fast Pass. You said, great, we'll show up to Pirates of the Caribbean at this time, although that wasn't a ride. I just don't want to give anything else away. And you go on during that time, and while you're waiting in line, you get your next Fast Pass. But the way they re-implemented it for Genie, and also the way that like some of your expensive rides or your newest rides aren't even part of that is horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want any of that stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so back to you, Scott, and September. What else you got?
Yeah.
Okay, do we want to go with a coaster?
Yeah, we could probably do like...
we haven't done any coasters yet.
We could do Splash Mountain. We could do the Matterhorn. Oh, yeah.
Keep naming them. Just in case you don't keep naming them.
It just seems like the old school stuff is going to get a mention. Like because everyone knows them. And they're all going to say it. So
if you don't get a picture of yourself going down Splash Mountain, what are you even doing at Disney? Just get out of here.
Right.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right after they used sandbags to test it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cast members tested. I got to like go on my lunch break and after work and we were I guess they figured they were insuring us anyway.
That's what I was about to say.
It didn't kill any of the sandbags. I guess let's use some expendable employees.
Right. What's next?
I got to be a test subject for that ride when it opened.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That gives me an idea of when you started working or when you were working at Disney World. That's cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
91 to 93. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That was a fun time. She got to see Flight of the Intruder all the way till Jurassic Park. That's how long you were there. Movie years. Anyway. All right. So what do you think?
All right. So what do you got?
Let's try Splash.
All right. Splash Mountain.
Now Tiana's are going to be. Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Show me Splash Mountain, soon to be Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Mm.
Yeah. Number six on the list. Yeah. Yeah, Splash Mountain, a little bit questionable with the whole Song of the South connection.
Yeah, didn't they change it, though?
Just a little.
It's already something else, right?
It's in the process of being changed over to Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
I thought they changed it to something else already.
I'm about to say, kind of late in the game to be doing it now.
It was Splash Mountain just until October or December, and then now they've started the process.
Well, I knew it was called that, but I thought there was like a... I thought they'd already thematically... gotten rid of all the
still Brer
stuff.
Rabbit and
Fire Babies.
Oh man!
Literally.
Waited until 2024 to make
2024
that
to say, you know what? I think maybe right now is a good time for
feels
us. To
a little disingenuous at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was honey instead of tar. Right. Yeah. Hootie's right. I remember they changed some shit about it.
I don't know if I don't ever remember tar, but it was, yeah, Hootie's honey.
Can't remember. Anyway.
Which give you guys 18
let's,
and nothing.
Let's right do now. The Matterhorn, because if these are all getting picked, then Matterhorn's on there.
Okay.
Let's all right. Do it.
Show me, reshuffle your spine, Matterhorn.
Oh, come on!
Number 18 in the list.
For those at home, we are currently sitting
on it.
18-0. 18-0. That's right.
Only in the one park.
All right, Dunaway. Hurry it up.
Obviously. Obviously. Hurry it up.
I'm kidding.
You ain't shut up for 20 minutes.
I know.
I'm going to say the one that I loved. I love the things that I like, I don't think everybody else likes.
Sure.
Like, I'm going to go ahead and say the next one I love. I love the Toy Story
shooting
one. I love the arcade thing, the shooting gallery.
Midway Mania is what that one's called. Oh. Buzz Lightyear is Midway Mania.
Yeah,
okay. What a blast!
Was that your guess?
That's the one. I guess that's my guess.
Okay. All right. Show me Buzz Lightyear's Midway Mania.
Stupid people.
Tied for 33rd place.
Golly, boy.
33rd.
Yeah, it's hard because I think people don't think of the stuff over at MGM.
California Adventure in this case.
Is it MGM Florida, in Florida? I didn't know that.
In Florida, it's now Disney Hollywood or something.
Hollywood.
Yeah, I think Hollywood.
It used to be MGM Studios.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is,
And speaking of which, my favorite freaking Star Tours.
Oh, the Star Tours is so good.
Yeah. They got rid of that though, right? We're done with Star Tours.
Yeah. But it did say that he had some old ones on there.
Yeah, he did. That's true. Ooh.
Did they get rid of?
Well, Dunaway, maybe you'll pick it because it's your turn.
No, it's not my turn. I just failed.
It's yours. Wait, it is ours?
It's yours, Scott.
If Scott insists, I will go again.
No, you're right.
Excuse me.
Okay.
That's three. All right.
Woo, you all right? You okay?
Yep, that's three. I had to get my three out.
All right. I was worried about you there for a second.
Thanks for sharing.
Oh, yeah, no. Always threes. Always in threes. a master, a student, and an advisor. I don't know.
I mean, we could say Star Tours and, like, hope for the best. I don't know.
You don't think it's going to be on there. Well, what about Thunder Mountain? Nobody's guessed Thunder Mountain Railroad.
You didn't do Thunder Mountain yet?
I like
Thunder Mountain. I saw two mountains, and I just didn't even think about that's a good point.
I like Thunder Mountain. As a that's ride. A so I you know what? I endorse it's your platform. Let's do it. Thunder Mountain.
All right. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Show me. Yep. Number 8. 26-0. I might
shut You don't have to say nothing. You can just say Scott's got 26.
Yeah, no, it's really, I think September wins either way, because the only way to tie is to get 10, 9, and 7.
Yeah.
And
okay, Monica, 7.
And then the win would be the third one. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I feel pretty good about Monica.
Yeah.
I like this. All right. Well, then we can just screw up here if we need to. Let's see.
So do we want to go ahead and try Star Tours then?
Yeah, let's do it just because I have nostalgia for that too. Let's get it back on there. Love. Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right, show me the absolutely still running at Tomorrowland in both parks, Star Tours.
I thought it was gone.
They moved it to Tomorrowland?
Yeah, it's
I
in Tomorrowland.
Moved it.
Oh, where was it? Oh, where was it in Florida? Was it not in Tomorrowland in Florida? Was that an MGM / Hollywood?
I thought it was gone.
Because it's still in California in Tomorrowland.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I can't believe it.
It was always when I was last there, it was still in studios along with
what was it? Okay.
Muppets and stuff.
Man, yeah. I just forgot.
Yeah, Hollywood Studios. Okay, so still there. And number 14 on the list, by the way.
I'm so very embarrassed about what we didn't say. So Dunaway, let's see if you can do
it. Oh, really? Really?
Yep.
Interesting. I think we covered all the mountains. I know the one that I used to there used to be an alien one, and they changed it to Lilo and Stitch. I love that one. Right. He jumps on your shoulders and stuff. I forget what that one's called.
Terrestrial, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrestrial encounter.
Yeah, that was cool.
I love that one, but I don't think that's going to be on here. And let's see, what was the other one? Oh, it's not on here, but they made a movie about it, so it had to be at least some popular with The Rock getting on the Jungle Cruise. And we need to head over to the jungle area.
All right.
The jungle area.
Jungle Cruise. The jungler. Adventureland is what you're talking about. All right. Show me Jungle Cruise and all those backside of water jokes.
Oh, my gosh. Jungle Cruise.
Jungle Cruise, number 29 in the list, surprisingly. But that is the end of the game. Congratulations. Final score, 26-0. Scott and Ember, good job.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We didn't say the Rise of the Resistance because we're stupid. Why didn't we say that? Oh, my gosh.
Number three,
dude.
Rise of the Resistance.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either, but I forgot Jungle about Cruise. I knew that would be big. And then I look at the chat after we had our three strikes, and everyone's screaming it. I'm like, oh. Gosh,
greatest, I call it, it's the greatest ride in any amusement park that I've ever been on is Rise of the Resistance.
Wow, that is some serious praise.
And I've been to amusement parks all over this great land of ours and in other countries, and that is
so better than Six Flags or Carowinds. Is that what you're saying?
Better than I haven't been to Carowinds, and I haven't been to what's the Sandusky Park? That's all roller coasters. Can't remember that one.
Oh, I don't know
that one either.
I don't know,
but that's like an all roller coaster park or a lot of roller coasters.
Epcot? I don't know. Well, hell, yeah, West left. I didn't get nothing.
Hootie, I wasn't looking at the chat because I didn't want to cheat. I know sometimes we do
that's
that.
Not cheating.
I know, but I didn't look. I usually don't. I usually want to not.
Yeah, I usually only do it if I'm losing.
That's the park I'm trying to remember. And I need to get out to Cedar Point before I can't ride roller coasters anymore. Yeah. All right, let's get to the rest of this list here.
That's a good turn.
Number seven is one that's only in Florida. And I believe this is another one in Hollywood Studios. September, you can correct me on this. The Aerosmith Rockin' Roller Coaster.
Are you kidding me? The Aerosmith Rockin' Roller Coaster.
Above that was the Toy one Story. You could actually choose your music on.
Yeah. I
when it works.
Lame.
It usually
when it works. Here's it's funny because I've only been to the back and it was back at it was called MGM Studios and we went out there. We went there and I've only been in that part of the park once and I assumed that was just like a motion, like you're in a puke box, basically, it's just rocking back and forth because of the name Rockin' Roller Coaster. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. And so I never did it. And I regret it because everybody says, oh, that's such a great ride.
Mm. Never even heard of it.
Only in Florida.
The Anshrunken Kids is great because they have smell-o-vision and stuff in there, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is another one that was part of Black Spire, is part of Black Spire Outpost, the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Oh.
Get to fly the Millennium Falcon with a bunch
of folks. Only in land? Is that?
That's in both. That's in both.
The new Star Wars.
Like, yeah, it's in Black Spire Outpost in both parks. Both parks. That's the only layout that is identical between Florida and California is the whole Black Spire Outpost. I think down to the meter. Really? Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
They basically took the template and went blork, blork, and
Hall of Presidents.
Yeah. Right? Amy says that is the best place for air conditioning. And
it is.
I would agree, except even seeing an animatronic of Trump for that long is too much.
So
for me.
It's so fast.
3D is my favorite.
Oh, that's a pretty good. Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right. Last one. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. That's the new roller coaster only in Epcot.
I'm seeing a theme. I'm seeing a theme here with
Star Wars and Marvel.
Aerosmith. Toad's Wild Ride.
No one in the top 10 did. Here's the remainder. Indiana Jones Adventure or Crystal Skull was number 12. The Mad Tea Party, Teacups, 13. Yeah. Expedition Everest, fantastic ride out in Florida and Animal Kingdom.
What about the Dumbo ride? That one's cool. I like riding the
Dumbo.
Big,
some giant people did say Dumbo, number 27 on the list. Guards of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, which is what in California, what the Tower of Terror turned into, which is why I couldn't give you points because that's considered a separate ride. Let's see here. Tron Light Cycles, brand new. Soarin'. The Avatar Flight of Passage out there in Florida, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, 20,000 Leagues Subride, which is now Finding Nemo, Incredicoaster, or what was it before that? California Adventure is the something coaster. Great California.
Honey, I Shrunk the Coaster. I don't know.
Honey, I Shrunk the Track. Honey, I Forgot to Attach the Track. Yeah. The Cali River Rapids Mission to Mars. The air condition. And then we get I'll give you all the trolley answers. You ready? Okay.
Give it.
Air conditioned bus on the way home. Ambulance to the hospital. Back to the Future. Captain EO was pretty sweet the last time I went, say, back in 1996.
Nice. I'm about to say.
Drinking and eating around the world in Epcot. Emergency medical shuttle.
The turkey leg booth is just the best.
It is the best, actually. Somebody just put Gaston is the best ride at Disneyland.
Wow.
Because he is the best.
He thinks no one he's rides the best.
Like Gaston.
Hagrid's Roller Coaster. Hulk. Let's see. Both of those in Universal, by the way.
Yeah.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. There you go. Overrated. Just somebody saying overrated. Parking lot tram back to the car.
Man. You know what? I hate to kind of relate to all these people and this stuff.
Oh, it's so freaking expensive.
It's expensive.
You think about one of those, it's like... Yeah, I've burned up all my discounts too. Like I used to have great ways of getting discounts, and I've used them all up.
Yeah.
Now I want a churro.
I want a pineapple. Like a churro. I want a Dole Whip.
Oh my God.
That's what I want. Give me a Dole Whip.
Jesus.
Sounds so good right now. Anyway, well, that's great. You know what this means? It means that she's won, and that means she gets the prizes.
Congratulations.
And that means Brian will send them to you shortly, and you'll have those codes, and then you'll be able to install them and play them at your leisure. How do you feel about your win, September? You feeling pretty good?
I'm so grateful for all of you every day.
Oh, thanks, September. Same here. Wake me up when you end. No, that's not how I want to say that.
Oh, scary.
You know what? No. I'm so glad that September got a game called 12 is Better Than 16 with her, her name being 9 of 12.
Oh, that's amazing. Great. Yeah, that's I hadn't even noticed that.
It didn't even until I copied and pasted in there. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that.
Hey, Dunaway, are we playing UT?
I am planning on playing UT 99.
Are we planning on a UTI today?
So tonight's 99, Friday's you know, that's how we should do it. 2K4 is on Fridays, and the Mondays are on our UT 99s. That makes sense. Cool. I like it.
That's how I've been playing the last couple of weeks. I think it's working out pretty good. Let's keep doing it.
I have? I have 99.
You have 99. You should show up tonight. 4:30, we say, at Mountain, I think?
99.
6:30 your time?
It's 4:30 your time, 6:30 my time. Okay. And we made some adjustments to the 2K4 server, so if you do just want to jump on that one, I've got a much better map list. Last Friday was a nightmare. This time it's a lot better.
Last Friday was experimental. Let's say it that way.
We had a real moment there.
But anyway, I look forward to kicking your butt. Bye. Yeah, see? I got him before he could say no you.
Yeah, I know. It was good. Yeah.
We're going to take a break, but this break is brought to you by somebody. Brian, why don't you tell us who it is?
Yeah, I'm so excited about these guys. Attention gamers, are you ready to take your gaming to the next level? Introducing SideQuest, the revolutionary one-handed gaming keypad designed and crafted by Dunwyvern Gaming. With SideQuest, you'll experience gaming like never before. Say goodbye to cumbersome key combinations and hello to lightning-fast reactions. Its ergonomic design ensures maximum comfort, allowing you to focus on the game without any distractions. Whether you're a casual player or a competitive gamer, SideQuest is your secret weapon for domination. Dominate the battlefield, conquer new worlds, and unleash your full gaming potential with SideQuest. Don't let anything hold you back. Join the gaming revolution with SideQuest at dunwyvern.com. That's dunwyvern.com. Order yours today and level up your gameplay.
Sounds freaking awesome to me. And I know he's been working on that forever, so it's super exciting to see it.
And when you look at that website, say, wow, that is a gorgeous website. I wonder who made that website. Wish I knew.
I'm blown away by its quality, its design aesthetic, and its ability to take me where I need to go. It's really good.
Good answer.
Brian, that's awesome. Let's take a break. Let's play a song, and let's come back with Bobby and some science after this. What do we have?
Well, okay. Let's go to an artist named Lauren Minear, M-I-N-E-A-R. I believe we've played something from this album, this upcoming album, which I think is now out a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago. This song was partially inspired by Grey's Anatomy, she admits. This is a song called The Sun. It's the third single from her forthcoming sophomore album, Chasing Daylight. Here is Laura Minear.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Lauren. Minear.
Oh, phew.
Lauren.
Phew.
Lauren. When people are like, why does he keep saying Yanni? Yeah, Lauren. Yeah.
All I hear is Yanni, and I haven't heard Yanni in a long time, so let's give it a shot. Anyway, we'll be back after this. Stay tuned.
You got those medals, girl. You're still looking around, asking permission, girl, from little boys sitting down, looking for a brighter star to shine on. When you light up the morning, you are the sun. You are the fabric of life, you are gravity. There is gold in you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, yeah, that's an intriguing scenario. Did you see the one about the guys who started at the bottom, stayed at the bottom, and at the end they were still at the bottom? So inspirational. Who'd go and see that?
Remember me?
We've returned, but we've returned only to tell you about that song one more time. Brian, remind
me. Sure. That is from the upcoming album, Chasing Daylight. That is Lauren Minier with a song called The Sun.
Go check it out. Can't wait to hear Yanni play.
I think she's wearing a blue dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell. It's blue and black.
I love that green needle to patch it up.
Exactly.
I like combining all of those stupid everyone. Whoa, that wasn't supposed to play. Anyway, hey, look who we got coming in. We got one Bobby Frankenberger, and where's his theme? Hold on. It's right here. No, it isn't. Why can't I find it? Here it is.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
Well, 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 if it isn't Bobby Frankenberger joining us, taking a brief respite from the massive, weird thing he built in shapes with a Z. I cannot believe. So this is going to be a little insider baseball, but if you'd listen to Core at all, you know I raved about a game called Shapes for months and months and months. It's this amazing automation kind of factory game, and Bobby got playing it, and he went from, I don't know how this works, to... I think he might be a genius and he's going to leave this mortal realm. The stuff he sends me, I cannot believe you're doing that stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because a few of you will understand why this is a big deal. And if you see the complexity of what he's built, it's insane. I don't know how you've
really?
Done it.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. It's a fantastic game.
We're going to have to tell the devs what you've done and show them. Don't you think?
It's hard, but you oversell it a little bit because it's once you reach a certain point in the game recommends to you that you try to build. It doesn't tell you how, but it recommends. It just pops up a little thing that says, now you might consider making a machine that can make any shape automated automatically. And so it doesn't tell you how you would do that, but I decided to do it. So other people have done it.
You're an end game, though. This is end game for shapes.
It's very much an end game. Cool. But there's an achievement for it. It's called a make anything machine. I think like some percentage of people have gotten it. I haven't looked.
Yeah. Did you? So you got the achievement, though? It popped for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
That's awesome. I love that game, but I wish I loved it to that degree.
Right? Well, right. Yeah. So I wish I loved anything as much as that. That's insane.
If you have played it, it is hard to do. You make a machine that will make any shape. You don't touch the keyboard. In fact, that's how the achievement works. It knows that you've made the shape because it says complete any level without building a building at all.
Yeah.
Like, and so that's what it is the level starts. It gives you a random shape that you have to complete, and then you've already built a machine that will handle the entire thing for you without you having to touch anything.
Basically plop it down and hook it up to the right resources and you're done. You know? It's crazy.
Because the hub where you deliver all the machines, it has a signal, a wire signal that outputs what the shape is that it wants.
You know how people can create like functional computers within Minecraft, like Minecraft itself. They've got settings, things. It's like that a little bit, in that if you look at it from afar, zoom way out, it looks like you're designing circuit boards. That's how it looks.
Yeah.
And it's
and that's how you can tell if you're really efficient too, because like all your things are following the same lines and going around.
Just crazy.
When does Shapes 2 supposed to be coming out? I know it's like in...
They don't have a date yet.
Yeah, demo's out. Demo's fantastic. They extended the demo so you can still play it.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's really polished and awesome.
Yeah.
So my guess is we'll see that by summer, and that thing's going to own me for months.
And then we won't hear from Bobby for...
Every segment will be a tutorial on how to make Shapes.
Today on Science, we're going to talk about the half circle and how you get to have a purple half circle going into the box.
Yep. We'll look forward to our brand new segment. Look for it coming up this summer with Bobby Frankenberger, which today is all science related and based, because he does a podcast called All Around Science, and he's here to share with us whatever he brought. I have no idea. Bobby, what are we doing?
Well, today I was going to talk a little bit about some post-COVID research that is not related to the virus exactly. Oh. But, you know, for a long time we talked about how, oh, there's so much interesting science to be done around COVID, because it was like, it wasn't just all about vaccines and chemistry and biology and everything, but there were a lot of like, what an economist would call a natural experiment. There were a lot of natural social experiments happening all over, right? Mm-hmm. Because people had to stay home, people had to shelter in place, all that kind of stuff, right? And so, and then also just all sorts of things, right? One of the things is that people had to work from home. COVID caused a lot of people to have to work from home, and it led... Some people were stressed out about that because of the difficulty balancing work life and home life. Others preferred it, and they liked the flexibility and the comfort of working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Some students actually turned out to do really well with the distance learning, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. There was all the school stuff and everything. So I already worked from home as a stay-at-home parent, so it didn't really affect me. I heard that your guys' bosses made you
go back
to the office as soon as it was over.
Such a change for us. Like, oh my gosh, we have to work from home now? How are we ever going to do this?
My boss was already a giant dick, and he just got more dickish during the pandemic.
Well, a lot of companies started calling people back to the office after a while. These so-called RTO mandates, return to office mandates. And the argument was made that the reason they were doing it was because it improved worker performance or increased productivity, or some people said it promotes collaboration in the workplace. So it resulted in better outcomes in business or at whatever it is that they did. But there hasn't been a lot of data that exists to support that claim. And so there was a study that was done trying to tease that apart. Since it's been a number of years now, since sort of life has, quote-unquote, returned to normal, you know, and we've had some time. So some researchers got together and analyzed almost 500 different S&P 500 listed firms. 137 of the businesses had returned to office mandates, and then 320 that they looked at, which did not have returned to office mandates. They looked at them between June 2019 and January 2023, and they wanted to see, what's the difference? Is there evidence that exists here that shows that the companies with return to office mandates benefited them,
improved productivity, ended up with higher whatever. This, I love this kind of data, because it ignores all the hyperbole around it, around the virus in general, but just around like work and work from home, and then these like old ideas we have about, well, that's just for lazy people in their underwear, don't want to, you know, like we it challenges these ideas with actual data. I love this stuff, so please lay it on us.
Yeah, people are claiming to make decisions about structuring and organizing work and the workplace based on these ideas that it does something. So we need data to support whether the claims that people are making are true, right? So what they did was they looked at the financial data of the companies as well as the employee reviews. They wanted to not just look at how did it affect the bottom line, although they did think that that was important because a lot of the claims were about the bottom line.
Yeah.
But they wanted to look at employee reviews as well because workplace satisfaction and employee satisfaction was really important, an important metric they wanted to determine as well. And so what they found out, first of all, and I don't know how much this will surprise you or not. It didn't really surprise me, but they found out first that the return to office mandates did not improve the financial metrics of the firms that implemented them at all. So they weren't making more money,
right?
Because they were asking people to return to office,
right?
And so
the people who get paid for office space probably made more money, right? Like they right. did better, yeah.
Well, and maybe some of the companies were making that argument, right? Because if you're a big S&P 500 company, there's a chance that you were not just selling your five floors of a skyscraper just because COVID happened, right? But right. you didn't have anybody in it. So you're trying to make that financial calculation like we're paying for this. We're leasing, you know, this huge office space and nobody's in it. Yeah. So there could have been a lot of pressure there to say, like, if we're going to have this, we need people in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then, you know, and so they justify it by saying that it's going to benefit the company's bottom line. But this kind of data can show, like, maybe it's not affecting the company's bottom line. And maybe you could have saved money by selling half of it or something, you know, or not leasing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they also found out that return to office mandates significantly decreased employee satisfaction. Significantly is what they said.
This does not shock me at all to hear that.
I don't. That's why I said it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
That people preferred in general over the population in general preferred the flexibility of being able to work from home. Right.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. This is a little conspiratorial, and I don't like that stuff very much, but I hear people talk about it, and there's probably some truth to this, but there's so much empty office space that used to be a very premium thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so commercial real estate has been in a bit of a tizzy because they're not filling up the space. The leases aren't being continued for companies that aren't doing mandates. And then they have a very specific interest in spreading the word that we can't have remote work happening, that only productivity happens if you're back at the office, because that's how they make their money, is those things have to succeed. Those buildings have to be full and they have to be paying rent or leases or whatever it is. And because so many of them, like huge swaths of buildings in like New York City are empty and revenue is nothing there for some of these commercial real estate owners, that they have every interest in the world in trying to drive the narrative that remote work is bad. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is the data like you're bringing today and others like it seem to support the exact opposite. And right. I think this is going to get weirder before it gets better, because you're going to start seeing it happen at like legislative levels where you're going to have, you know, lobbying happening, may already be happening, where legislators are going to be pushed in this country anyway to try to push the narrative that this is bad and we need to fill up those office spaces again, when really all it's about is just making sure their lease goals are met.
And I hate that. I don't think that sounds conspiratorial at all.
Mm.
Conspiratorial in the, like, you're crazy negative kind of sense, right? Like, sure, it might be conspiratorial in the sense that people with power are conspiring behind the scenes to figure, you know, like, but I don't think it sounds crazy to say that, because the types of people that own these buildings, these huge pieces of real estate, they're very wealthy, and they're also have like, at that level, business looks different than we're used to looking at down here, right? Yeah. And so a lot of business is done with relationships that you maintain. And so you can imagine some Fortune 500 company CEO out to dinner with some buddy who owns some skyscraper in New York. And there's, you know, saying like, look, man, we don't know if we're going to continue this lease. And they're having a conversation about it. And they're saying, well, look, I need you to make sure that people are still in these buildings because we're making money from this and this. You know, like they're having those conversations. I'm sure they're having those conversations.
Right.
This paper even supports that there might be those kinds of things going on. You made me think of that because an interesting finding that they had was that they found that companies with male CEOs who hold more power were more likely to enforce return to office mandates. Now, when they define CEO power, because that's a funny thing to say, they define it as, they measured it as the CEO's total compensation divided by the average total compensation paid to the next four highest paid executives.
Oh, so why is that the formula? I don't understand how that
they're
correlates.
They're talking about companies that have, or CEOs that have much more financial power as compared to even the next people below them. So like very highly disproportionate, not just CEOs get paid a ton of money compared to, you know, the cubicle workers. Of course, we all know that, but we're talking about like even more highly
middle management or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we're talking CEO versus
CFO.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. The next person down, the next two or three people down. Wow.
You know you know who's hardly ever in the office? CEOs. They're barely. Yeah.
So true. Yeah.
They may be busy traveling. They may be going to events. They may be speaking. Yeah. But also they spend a lot of time at home looking at paper and using their notebooks. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So what they found was that measure, if they define CEO power as in that way, they found that the CEOs who have a higher ratio of their compensation to the next people below them, were much more likely to enforce a return to office mandate. Everything else we said about having conversations behind the scenes with real estate moguls, that's all speculation. They didn't talk about that in here. But that the data is showing that as they define CEO power, higher CEO power correlated with a higher likelihood to enforce return to office mandates.
Interesting.
So what does that mean? Maybe don't know. Also, the male CEOs was something that they pointed out as well. So,
of course, all I know is someone said it in the chat. I don't know who. The pandemic made a lot of rich people much richer. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should be complaining about shit. They should just chill out and calm down and knock it off. And who cares about commercial real estate? Like, convert it into condos and homes and stuff. Mm-hmm. You'll make money. Already rent is through the freaking roof.
Or startup businesses, like, you know, lower it down so that a startup business can get in there and take over some of that office space.
Something. Do something. But you don't have to go, well, it's been this way for 150 years and we'd like it to be that way for another 150. It doesn't have to be.
Nonprofits.
Yeah. If you can show that the money's still being made and that you're not losing productivity, then who cares? Like, what you should do, whatever. This
there are a couple more
simple
things
to me,
that they said in the paper, in the discussion of the paper. So this is them looking at data and looking at interviews that they did with employees and also talking to other experts to sort of draw conclusions. But this part of it is of the paper is not necessarily hard backed by evidence, but I think it's important to say that because this is them doing a lot of speculation based on other things that they saw and research that they did to write the paper. And that they said that that the return to office mandate seemed to be, there is evidence to support it being used as a tactic to blame employees for poor performance. The arguments that they were making were that many managers and many CEOs would use work from home allowances and point to that to say that led to reduced productivity in employees, and then they would use return to office mandates as as a sort of scapegoat and a way to punish employees who were underperforming. You know what I mean? So, or who they perceived as underperforming. This department is not doing too well, and they're all working from home. So
therefore,
you're coming back to work because you're for whatever
that must be the problem. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I get why it's the easy one because it has, I don't know, hundreds of years of assumption behind it. You know, people just assume that if that department isn't performing, well, it must be this because what else could it be? But we got to stop doing that. We got to look for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we got all this AI. Why don't we use AI to do this? Why don't we replace CEOs with AI if it's so good?
Why haven't we just started letting AI run all of our lives?
Yeah, why not?
Sure, sure.
I mean, Brian, if anything...
Let's have it write all of our trivia games.
I was going to say, if Brian's proven anything, it's it can write trivia like nobody else.
That's right, exactly.
Damn, dude.
Jeez.
They did point out a couple of weaknesses. I like to point out study weaknesses because a lot of people are wondering, like, what's going on here? There are weaknesses to every study, and one of the ones that they said here was limited time frame. They said that there hasn't been enough time to determine maybe the long-term effects of return-to-office mandates. They could exist. We don't know yet. There were labor market conditions that they pointed out, which is that in the period following the pandemic, there was a huge labor shortage, which could also contribute to a lack of employee satisfaction, people having to work way too hard, and just plain bad numbers for companies, right? Like, so that labor shortage could be also influencing the bottom line of companies and maybe muddying the waters in terms of being able to tease out, are these return to office mandates having an effect? So it's hard to say.
Yeah, no, none of this can be, obviously it can't be as exact as me measuring how much hydrogen is in my water glass. You know what I mean? Because you can do that. Yeah. We add the tools for that. But this is more, the social science stuff can get tricky. But I do like that, you know, one of the things that I felt like during the pandemic when it really hit, or one of the positive things I tried to keep in my head was, we're going to have a ton of data after this. This is going to be interesting because regardless of how awful it is, who benefits, who doesn't, like what it does to change society, all of those things aside, at the end of it all, we're going to have data that's interesting and we'll be able to like suss through it and see, well, what did most people do during this time, or how was this affected? And I feel like we're just now getting to that place where we're hearing about it.
And so what this really will do is even if we look at this paper and we say that's a little muddy and that can't tell us a lot, and people have a lot of problems with the results and everything, what it will do is what science always does, which is lead to more questions and people saying, well, let's look at this part of that paper and let's try to replicate that and fix some of the errors with the way that was designed. Let's look at more data and get some statisticians involved, and more people will continue to work on this, and we will start to get better, more well-designed analyses of the numbers and stuff like that.
We will learn more as it happens. Let's hope we don't get any more big diseases in the meantime that will disrupt our data. Bobby, once again, always a pleasure. Tell people about your show and what you're talking about this week.
Well, we have a podcast called All Around Science, where every week we talk about science. And this week was no different than any of the other weeks. And I didn't get the folder open fast enough.
I saw what you were doing there. Yeah. Look, you're a pro now with the delay and stuff. That's good. Yeah.
What we talked about was, let's see. Oh, how much energy is needed to make the sound that we hear? Somebody asked a question wondering asking the simple question of what is the minimum amount of energy that would be needed to make the smallest sound that we can hear?
Oh, wow.
And I fully thought, that'll be an easy thing to research, and I'll just answer it at the end of the show. And it turned into most of the show because the sound is complicated. And but we talked a lot about sound and all the energy and that goes into making sound and how sound works. And we talk about loudness for those of you ANTP fans.
Yeah, that was the whole Jenny Josephson thing that was such a revelation to a lot of us in the biz.
Yeah, and here's an example of loudness. That's pretty loud.
That's pretty loud. Yeah.
That's pretty loud. So if you weren't ready for that, that's because it was loud.
And if you want to know why it was so loud, then go listen to the latest episode of All Around
Science. How much energy did it take for Scott to produce that noise? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah. And if you want to know that, it sounds like they've got that answer over on All Around Science. So go check that out. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Bobby, it's always a pleasure. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time. Bye now.
See ya.
Go make more ridiculously complex structures in the game Shapes with a Z. He's really
putting
good.
Us all to shame in that game.
He really is, dude. It's amazing, that stuff.
He's upped his Shapes game.
I should probably show one of these. You know what? I will.
I'd like to see it. Make sure you put it in our...
Because this is banana time, Brian. Banana time. Like, I don't know how anyone does this, let alone Bobby. Here you go. Okay, so I'll put it in Discord first so you can see it.
Okay.
This is just an example of his Make Anything machine.
Oh, my God.
And that zoomed out to max, so that's as far as you can
go. I know, I'm opening my browser so I can zoom in.
So essentially this setup will make anything he needs. So you could just say, well, I need to make red circles with half the circle blue and then a square in the
middle.
There's
an app for that.
Yeah. And this is the app, and this is just insane. And you have to place all these little bits. Obviously, you can, copy them. And later in the game, you have the ability to copy and paste whole chunks, but it's something.
He's insane. Mastered Shapes.
He's insane.
Shape Master. Bobby,
there you go.
Call him.
Yep. Yeah. It's his new rapper name. I can't wait to go on tour.
Yo, DJ Shapes a lot.
It's yo, DJ Shapes a lot in the house, his house. All right. Monday show tonight. Carter will be home from work at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Her and I will be hanging out and talking. She's going to call me to task on something I did this week.
Can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, I'm going to argue that it was fine. And she's going to argue that it was absolutely not fine. So find out.
Oh, my God. Okay, I really got to hear that. Jeez.
So find out live tonight if you want to hear a generational gap. Tonight's your night. A couple of quick messages from listeners. We got one from Eric here that says how rust works on metal. We were talking about the Tesla trucks having the rust and people being all mad. Eric, who is a Model Y owner, says what appears to be rust developing on the hoods of Tesla trucks is actually what is known as rust dust. It is it is in the air. A common source is train tracks. I had exact same problem on my Honda Accord, which was, of course, painted. It landed on my hood in specs and was a real pain to remove. Surprise, I live 3 blocks from a very active railroad track. The issues have been covered extensively in owners' groups. Video here explaining what's going on. He sent me a YouTube video. It turns out that this is a thing, and it can affect a lot of people. I think it's maybe more prominent with the trucks because, A, there's a spotlight on those trucks right now. People are talking about it all the time. It's kind of like when there's an accident with a Tesla, you hear about it, but there are 400 million accidents with other cars all day and you don't hear about those. It's kind of the same thing.
Right, of course,
So anyway, I guess that is a thing.
I'll have to watch that because, you would think that, so the rust dust comes off the railroad tracks, lands on the Cybertrucks, and you could just brush it off, but apparently not.
It adheres or digs in or welds its, I don't know, these all the wrong words.
Combines itself with the metal of the Cybertruck or something.
Something like that, but we appreciate the perspective. We also heard from Shoujo. Dear Buttholes, she says. This is about high schools. She said, we were talking about famous ones in your feud that day.
Yeah.
The one where you gave the score prominently the entire time.
I probably didn't.
Says I failed.
Sorry, Turkey Jesse.
She says I failed to mention some high school facts about my own high school during our Tadpooley feud. Yeah, she was on that one. Says, for context, I went to Eastlake High School in Chula Vista.
Chula Vista.
Yeah. That's right. My kids went to, was it Eastlake? No, Westlake they went to. Anyway.
I went to Cholula Vista. It was a really spicy high school.
Oh, man. You got to watch out for that. I went to Churro High School, and it was tasty and sweet. It was all right.
It was a sweet high school.
It was maybe a little oily, just a little bit. Anyway, this is miles north of the Mexican border. Fact one, all of the stadium scenes in the first Bring It On film is my actual high school stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
I've never seen a Bring It On movie. I have no idea what the movie's about.
I think I saw the first one.
You're a lucky man. I never did. Fact number two.
I see myself looking for that.
He says, do you guys recall a television show by the name Silk Stockings? Oh, yes.
Eagles. Yeah.
Up all night. USA, baby.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
She says it was one of those crime-solving detective hoo-has. Anyway, on one of the episodes, there was a murder at a high school. Guess whose high school is featured in it? Yeah, you got it. Not only was my high school the backdrop of the show, myself and the rest of the drama club members got to be in background extras for it. Yes, I was a hardcore theater kid growing up. I still carry my International Thespian Society membership card in my wallet.
That's so cool.
Dude, that's awesome. Bring that to Vegas. Or you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
we'll come to
bring
you.
Bring that to one of the events so we can see it.
Yeah, it says, I remember laughing at the professional extras in my with my friends because they were supposed to dress up like high school kids, and they all looked like they walked out of an old Navy commercial. Says, I went to high school during the 90s, so y'all know we did dress like some basic bitches back then, she says. Anyways, thought I'd share some facts about my high school. Don't eat yellow snow, though. See you in Vegas, your friend, Shoujo. Well, sounds like your school was a cool place to get stuff done.
Yeah, no kidding. That's awesome. Wow. Yep. All right. Yep. Chula Vista in all the films.
Yep. Sounds like fun to me. I could see her being a theater kid. Totally can picture
totally.
It.
Totally. Yeah.
100%.
Sure. I mean, you can see in her TikToks, like she knows how to perform.
Yep. She has embraced thespianism her life. That's it. Go to frogpants.com/TMS for all the details on how to contact us, all that stuff. Our email, our hotline, our stuff are all there. You can find our link to our Patreon, which we talked about at the top of the show. All of these things are available to you at your fingertips at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, we got to get out of here, but we can't do it until you play music.
With a song, Norbert. Says, hey, Norbert from Romania here, longtime listener, first time requester. I always wanted to send in a request, but every time I try to do it, I get distracted. Like now, for example, I started drafting this on a Tuesday, and it's now 6 days later, and I still haven't finished.
Wow.
I'm turning 37, so my dementia is still far away, but a reachable goal for my later years. At least I don't have to hear the old lady from The Sopranos wishing me a happy birthday. Oh, maybe you do. Anyway, I've been a Pink Floyd fan since I was 23. I listened to Time, and it just clicked, and everything fell into place. Would love to hear a cover of that, or Maroon, or anything else you deem worthy. Thanks. P.S. Reunions are the hot thing right now. How about an ELR reunion, Scott? Don't make us beg.
I mean, I could probably arrange it. I think O would be down. I know Dunaway would do it.
Yeah.
We probably could work something out. I don't know. It's just a lot going on, and every time someone asks for this, I just go... Yeah, but when are we doing
right,
it?
Right. Yeah.
I'll let you know. Okay.
What marble has to leave the straw for that one to make its way into it, basically?
Many marbles have to leave.
Many, many marbles. All right, let's get to this. It is a cover of Time, Pink Floyd's song Time, covered here by Kelsey Wood. This is from a really cool tribute album to Pink Floyd called A Fair Forgery of Pink Floyd. It's written to sound like it's a freaking Pink Floyd album. A Fair Forgery of Pink Floyd. This is from disc one, which was called Us. Here is Time.
Taking around on a piece of ground in your hometown. Get more at frogpants.com.
Got it off a hooker in Cloud City. Why?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.